We continue our series on the Gospel of Mark. Please stand for the reading of the Gospel. A reading of the Gospel according to St. Mark, the first chapter, verses 21 through 28. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus entered the synagogue and taught. They were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. Just then, there was in the synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying with a loud voice, came out of him. They were all amazed, and they kept on asking one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." At once his fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Gracious Lord God, as we come to reflect upon your word, bless the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts that they might be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This morning, I want to take the opportunity for you to listen to the story once again of Jesus' first entrance into public ministry in the Gospel of Mark. I want you to re-listen with me the story from a first-person perspective as we begin our reflection on this particular text. So, what I'd like you to do is imagine that you're sitting there or standing there in the synagogue first century. And if that's not working, imagine that you're back in our own sanctuary. And imagine the sights, the sounds, and the smells as you've gathered together with other people to worship. Were you at the synagogue this morning in Capernaum? I wasn't sure because I didn't see you there. And it was an amazing thing that took place. I can only explain what occurred, but it is something that has never happened before here in our small village, let alone in our synagogue. You know, our synagogue where people gather together to read and pray and be with one another around the Torah. What took place is like anything our rabbis have instructed us in over the years. This individual who came taught us with authority. Now, I have to begin. Sabbath began fairly routine in the synagogue this morning. It was a normal gathering. We all came together with the usual expectations. Now, don't get me wrong, our rabbis do a really good job. But let's be honest, as they are faithful interpreters of the Torah, and as they instruct us in the word of the Lord, there are times when they're teaching, well, it does get a bit routine. But this morning, as everything was progressing as usual with prayers and psalms, reading of the Torah, this newcomer came, and upon entering the synagogue, he immediately began to teach and instruct us. And dare I say, he did so with a new authority. His authority was not like our rabbis and scribes who have taught us or teach us currently, but it was a new authority. Because when I use the word authority about his teaching, he taught not as one who has received the scriptures, but he teaches as one who authored the scriptures. Moses received the scriptures from the hand of God. Moses brought and taught us those scriptures. Moses presented us with the Torah. Our rabbis and our scribes teach us in accordance to the Torah. But our visitor this morning taught not as a recipient of the Torah, but as the author of the Torah. He taught as the one who gave that word to Moses. I'm still in shock over what happened next, because immediately as this man was teaching, a man in our midst had a big outburst. And it appears that an unclean spirit had taken over him. And the individual who came to teach this morning, who taught with an authority that I've never experienced before in my life, was identified by the unclean spirit as Jesus of Nazareth. He called to him by name. Now, he asked him a question. What do you have to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? Now, this voice was demonic. It was shrill. It was like a scream. How did this spirit know the name of the individual that was teaching? He hadn't identified himself to us, but this unclean spirit in this man had identified himself to us. And in the midst of this, Jesus of Nazareth, the one who taught or teaches with authority, an authority I've never experienced before, in the midst of a silent synagogue, says to the unclean spirit, "Be silent and come out of him." What occurred next was a demonstration I have never, ever witnessed before. The man was writhing on the floor. He was in conflict with the spirits that were possessing him. Then the voice of the demonic spirit cried out in the same shrill demonic scream. And the unclean spirit that was screaming in like manner came out of him, and the man appeared to be calm. The man appeared as he stood up to be in his right mind and looked as normal as any one of us. Needless to say, we were all overcome with amazement. We were totally surprised. And that's why at the end we were going, what is this, a new teaching? A man with authority teaches. In fact, he teaches with such authority, he has the ability to call out unclean spirits, to cleanse people of those spirits. I can't explain what came over us, but it was like we gave witness to the man from Nazareth, to Jesus of Nazareth, as praise to the holy and righteous God in our midst. There's nothing that I've ever experienced to compare this to. All I know is that immediately after this took place, Jesus' fame spread throughout Galilee. Now, how would you respond if you witnessed that firsthand? What would be going through your mind, your heart, and your soul? This exorcism in a synagogue in Capernaum is the first stop of Jesus in his public ministry with his four new disciples that we learned about earlier in the first chapter of Mark. And I find myself captivated by this story, captivated by experiencing the story with four observations. The first observation is this, that this story takes place in the village of Capernaum. Capernaum that sits on the Lake of Galilee on the northern edge. And in that lake, or in that village in Capernaum, I find myself in the first century. That's where I live. It's my home. It's where I have been raised and taught and all that. But what's unique and amazing to me as I think about it, if I put myself back into that first person, is that the name of Capernaum means village of grace. So in our village, in our gathering of grace, Jesus of Nazareth comes and commands an unclean spirit to leave a man. So take some time to think about that. What does it mean to live in our village, in our home, where its name means grace? As citizens of grace, of Capernaum, we gather together in the synagogue for the Sabbath. Now, to understand why we gather in synagogue more fully, we need to go back with the meaning of the word. The word means in Greek to assemble, assembly, and is used in place of the Hebrew word meaning congregation or community of Israel. Originally, it probably referred to the gathered people, and over time it began to move towards a specific location or a building that people gathered in. But the community, those that gathered, were called synagogue. It was the people that make up the synagogue. Now, it's not the temple in Jerusalem where we know God dwells, but it's a place that we gather together for prayer, for reading of Torah, for instruction in Torah, for singing psalms and praising God. It's where us as a community gather together. When I think about it, in our 21st century, it speaks to us about church and about going to church. And it reminds me that we need to remember that church is not always or necessarily a building or a campus, but the church is the gathered people of God, praying, reading scripture, singing psalms. And that gathering, as we've experienced recently online or in small groups in person. And as we gather together, then I am amazed to think about how we do those things and gather together. And I'm left with the question, what does it mean to live as a church, as a gathered people of God in a village called Grace? A third observation is this, that we gather together like our Jewish ancestors who began gathering together while in captivity in Babylon. It is here in Babylon that the beginning of the assembly of the people for the purpose of study and prayer, because they couldn't get to temple. How do they learn about God? How do they encourage one another about God? Well, they gathered together and created the synagogue. They gathered together to study and to pray and to worship God in exile. You can't get back to where God dwells, so what do? You gather together in small groups or in house assemblies, or house churches, or houses of study. Or in our particular cases, we come to the world that we live in today, we gather together online, in Bible studies, in worship. Or we gather together for prayer walks that are smaller than what we would normally have, and we look to gathering together in small groups as opposed to a large group. We gather together in exile, to be fed by the word of God, to be fed and pray with one another in fellowship, encouraging, uplifting, and sustaining each other. We gather together in singing songs or listening to music in person and virtually. That's what I think about when we gather together. When I think about those that were in exile in Babylon and gathered together in small groups, which set the pattern for our early brothers and sisters in Christ beginning in Acts, gathering in small groups. They did so as an assembly of believers in houses, small groups, not big congregations. That came later. And they were sustained and uplifted, and the faith spread. And in doing so, they were committed to God's word and to God in obedience and in living life with one another. It changes our perspective because as I think about it in many ways, during this pandemic, we are in, I think, a form of exile. But we live in that exile through Zoom meetings, through online worship, online Bible studies, texts to one another, telephone calls to one another, social media with one another, as well as small group gatherings like the prayer walk, which more and more small groups are going to be established on campus as we move forward. We do all of that gathered around God's word. God's word is what we gather. God's word is what calls us together. A final observation with that as being centered on God's word is verse 25 from our reading this morning. And it's Jesus' command to the unclean spirit in the man, be silent and come out of him. Be silent and come out of him. It is in this command that we are reminded that it's God's word that cleanses us, that cleans us, that supports us, that shows us the way, that uplifts and sustains us, and we read and share with one another with whatever medium that we're using, God's word. But it's all centered on God's word. God's word for our brothers and sisters in the early church was the Old Testament, was the Torah. That's what they were living out and discussing and living their lives. Centered on God's word, they prayed and uplifted and sustained each other as they could. I'm reminded as I read this and think about God's word, I go back to the first chapter and verse 1 in the Gospel of Mark, where we read that Jesus is the good news. He is the Son of God. God's word. I hear in the midst of that, the beginning of John's Gospel. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and life was the light of all people. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. God's Word, Jesus' Word, cleansed the man in the synagogue. God's word regularly cleanses us from all things that are contrary to God. We are restored and renewed by God's word. We do confession and assurance of pardon. We confess our sins and we are assured in God's word to whom we belong and what God has done for us in and through Jesus Christ in his crucifixion, resurrection for us. God's word. Go back to Genesis, the first chapter, and the creation story. There you will read a sweeping thing about God's word. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was formless, void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. In other words, God the Father is present, God the Son is there, and the Spirit is moving over the waters. The word is this. God the word is there because later we read things like, God said, let there be light, and there was light. God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures of every kind, and it was so. God said, let us make humankind in our image according to our likeness. So God created humanity in his image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. He created them. Jesus rebuked him and said, be silent, and come out of him. God's word is with us. God's word is in amidst us. God is among us in and through God's word, in our study of scripture, in our prayer with one another, in our worship of praise and thanksgiving. God is with us. And God who is with us is the God of grace, a community of grace, a community in which we live with one another, to be centered and committed and obedient to God as we know God through Scripture. So how do we live in this dramatic story of an exorcism in the first century in our so-called sophisticated 21st century world? We live in the world today not much different than those who were exiled to Babylon or the early Christians that gathered together in small groups. They gather together as God speaks to them in his way through scripture and prayer and song and psalms. The answer really hasn't changed. We gather together reading those things and praying and being with one another. For us, the challenge for this year is to read and be rooted in the Gospel of Mark, to continue to pray for one another, to be rooted with one another in Scripture in living our lives, because we want concrete answers, but we really aren't going to get concrete answers, or things are always going to be shifting and changing in a very chaotic and turbulent time. It's really not that much different than what other people have lived through. I found on my bookshelves this past week a book that I'm going to reread. It's a short volume. I read it in undergraduate school. And the title of the book is Paganism and Christianity in the Time of Anxiety. And it's the story of paganism and Christianity and its response in a time of anxiety in the first century, not the 21st century. We are not alone. What has sustained us and uplifted us throughout all of this is the Word of God. The Word of God that cleanses us to new life. And we live our lives knowing this and praying for one another with a simple understanding that he who gives the day will surely show the way, so I securely go. To God be the glory now and forever. Amen.